was a wonderful intro. Good morning. How are you guys doing? I just want to open up with a word of apology to everybody that for the past 2 years, I've been pronouncing your community's name wrong. I've been saying Alpha. Have you guys noticed? I've been saying Alpha and Omega for the longest time, so it's Alpha, right? L-L, right? And then I've been saying Alpha with an R, and for 2 years, nobody corrected me, so thank you very much. But also, sorry for mispronouncing your community's name, so I know now that it's Alpha Community, so good morning, Alpha, right? I know how to pronounce L, okay? I'm just gonna dive straight into the Word of God, and there's excitement and there's joy in my heart that really God is going to speak to you. And so just get on the ride with me, okay? How many of you guys know that it's a game changer to have someone to help when you desperately need a hand? Or when you just need some emotional support, right? Even if that person is not that technically helpful, right, skillful, having someone willing to help or offering to help you right there, that is a game changer. How many of you say amen to that? I've been a retreat coordinator for many years for New Philly retreats, right? And I can testify having someone there as an emotional support or as someone that's very willing to help, it has always changed my experience. So on the other hand, when you need help but seem to, it feels like you can't get any help, right? There's no one that's available. There's no one that's willing. Or you just feel like you have to carry the entire weight on your own shoulders. How many of you know that helplessness, that loneliness, and how that discourages us at times of getting no help? Today, we'll look at what the scriptures say about getting help from the Lord. Everyone say, help me. That was a cry of my entire week. I was crying out for this sermon, and by Lord's help, it came together. But help is something that all of us need, and that is something the scripture promises that God is giving to us. And so Genesis chapter 1, we're going to go back to the creation story. God creates the world over 6 days, and he repeatedly says that it is good, right? Just like a pop quiz, do you know how many times God says it's good over the 6 days? Six, right? But it's actually five. You can, if you actually turn to it and count, it's actually only 5 times. And I'll leave it up to you. Okay? Go find out. Okay? So over the 6 days, God creates the entire universe, right? And then he repeatedly says that, oh, it is good. It is good. It is good, right? In Genesis chapter 2, there's an account of God creating humankind. There's Adam and Eve's story finally coming, right? Then the Lord, we're going to actually turn there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. After creating Adam, right, this is what the Word of God says. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him. Hallelujah. Brothers, say hallelujah. Oh, yeah, praise God, right? And then if you continue the story, verse 21, it says, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Verse 22, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. So the divine help came, right? And so first thing, if you notice, God did for humankind, the first guy, Adam, was to provide a helper. One of the very first things after creating Adam, God saw the need and then God provided help. Most of the translations agree on this word helper. A few prefers help or helpmate, but most translations in English, it would say a word helper. So we will look at the Hebrew word, where this word helper came from. It's a noun called azel. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but it's okay, right? Nobody knows how to pronounce it anyways, right? So it's azel, right? It's azel. You guys are probably familiar with the name Ezra, right? Ezra also means help, and it comes from the same root, which is a verb azel, okay? Probably wrong, but azel, right? Azel is a Hebrew word, the root word verb, to help. And the two nouns come azel and also Ezra. These two things also mean help or helper. The basic meaning is simple. Help, helper, one who helps, right? And helper in English dictionary, I looked it up. The first definition goes a person who contributes, blah, blah, blah. Second definition goes the one who aids, assists, or relieves, blah, 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 right? So this is like in English, the connotation of help is, it implies that the helper is a secondary person, right? There is a main person, the leader, and there's a helper that is a background person. If Christian is my helper, right? I'm the main person and he's the background, right? Or I'm the leader and he does what I ask him to do, right? Right, helper? Yeah? You know, so that is the connotation of help in English. So the main person is the significant role and the helper is the one that assists from the background, right? In Korean, it's actually worse. Okay, so I'm really glad the Bible translators in Korea didn't use a literal word for helper, because that would be very, very bad. Help in Korean is 도움. Oh, some of you studied 도움, right? Helper, literally in pure Korean, will be 도우미. Do you know what 도우미 refers to? Like 도우미. What does 도우미 mean? Like a maid. Or like a caretaker. Or at best, it's like social work volunteer. That's like a 도우미, right? And so I'm really glad that Korean Bible translation doesn't say that God gave Adam a 도우미, okay? But instead, it says 대피 or 짝, which is spouse or a partner. Okay, God gave him a partner or a spouse, right? So in English or Korean, it doesn't really match the true meaning of help or helper in Hebrew. And I'll explain further. Let's look at Psalm 20, verse 2. I'll read it for you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. This is talking about may he, who? God send some help, right? This is talking about God sending help. Psalm 70, verse 5. There are so many references. I just chose a few. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. This is the same word, azel, right? You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11, it mentions it three times. And in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, this refers to completion. When God repeats something exactly the same times, that means it's absolutely true and he's emphasizing it, right? It says, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Three times, emphasizing that the Lord is a help or the helper. In Hebrew, help has a different connotation. It's not the background person. It's not the assistant. It's actually the main person. Azel, helper, was used most often to refer to Yahweh, God himself. So he calls himself, I'm the help and I'm the helper. I am the Azel of Israel. So even biblical Hebrew language, help had a divine nature. It wasn't some assistance. It wasn't some background support. It was a divine help coming from heaven. Intervention, you can say. Deliverance, you can say. Rescue coming from heaven. Coming straight from the Lord. That was a help of God. That's what's understood in this passage. So it's about something only God can do. Are you guys with me? Help in the Bible is something that only God can do. So in helpless or hopeless situation, God says to Israel, I am your help. Not saying, I'm going to show you some support or assistance. He's saying, I will break out of heaven to help you. I will send myself. I am your helper and I will go intervene. That is what the Lord is speaking. So going back to Genesis 2:18, right? God says, I will make him a helper fit for him. I feel like I'm preaching on marriage or something, but I'm not, okay? This is just an example, okay? Eve was a divine help from the Lord for Adam. Mm-hmm. She wasn't an assistant, praise the Lord. Eve was Azel sent from the Azel of Israel. Oh, the helper sent a good helper. Come on, all the husbands, praise the Lord right now. Come on, come on. Praise the Lord right now, Pastor Christian. Right? Azel. Though Azel sent some. Azel, thank you, Lord God, thank you, God, Professor Aaron. Anyways, so God sent some real help, right? The divine intervention. It's not good that Adam is alone. So I'm gonna intervene, send some help from heaven. Oh, we need some help from the Lord. Amen. Have you guys ever felt helpless? Helpless, right? As in you're stuck and there's no one that can help you. I Googled, right? Helpless definition, right? It says unable to defend oneself or to act without help. So unable to move forward without help. Unable to achieve something without help. Unable to solve the problem without help. Have you ever felt that helplessness inside of you? That you feel like you exhausted all of your options, you tried everything, and you have done everything that you could do within your power, right? And all failed. The only thing I had left as an option, a possible source of help, is God. And it's just Him. And in those situations, don't we say sometimes, I feel so helpless. I feel hopeless. Guys, I tried everything. And it seems like there's no answer. And in those situations, we're like, often, yeah, I feel hopeless. I don't know what to do. But this Bible verse shocked me when I was meditating on it. Psalm 146, verse 5. And there's more references with the exact same wording. It says this, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. In English, impact is smaller. In Hebrew, it's greater. In Hebrew, if you literally translate blessed, it's actually happy are you. Happy are you. Happy are those whose help is in God of Jacob. Have you ever met somebody, I tried everything, everything failed, and all I left is the Lord? I'm so happy. It's really hard to find. You don't really hear about this from a lot of people. I've exhausted all my options, and I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I'm so happy, guys. I'm so stuck. I'm so happy. You don't hear about this. But this psalm is talking about I'm happy and I'm glad because I've exhausted all my options and all I have left is my hope in the Lord. And He's the only help that I have left, right? And He says, I'm happy, blessed because He's my last resort. Because He's the only one that I can look to. In Luke 18, there's a famous story of a parable that Jesus shares of a persistent widow. She was very famous. I'll just summarize it. She goes to the judge, right, that doesn't fear God or man. So not really a good guy, right? But this widow goes to him asking for justice. She probably had something like a, she probably was wronged. The widow was at the bottom of the social hierarchy. They were mistreated often. They had no one to help them. She probably doesn't have a husband, but not only that, probably doesn't have any children because her sons could have helped her, but she's trying to take care of herself. This widow is left alone. She has to take care of herself. And there's no one to turn to. I know this is a parable about Jesus asking us not to lose heart and continue to pray. But can we just look at this situation? Why Jesus chose a widow as a like main character of this parable? And why do you think this widow, this helpless woman, right, went to this not-so-good judge every single day asking for justice? If she had better people to turn to, do you think she would have gone to him? If she knew better sources like her sons or her relatives or anyone else that's better than this judge to turn to, do you think she went back to this not-so-good judge every single day asking for justice, knowing that he doesn't really care? The story tells you that he didn't really care about her case, but because he was so bothered, gave her justice, right? If she had better people to turn to, she would have turned to other people, you know? This is a situation that is helpless. But according to the Bible, right, we don't have to go to some unrighteous judge for our case. That's why the Bible says we are happy, we're blessed when our last hope is our Lord. Because we don't have to turn to some human, we don't have to turn to some unrighteous, biased people. We can go straight to one that cares and that has the solutions. And So we're gonna look into this more. Why should we rejoice and be glad in finding Him as our helper, right? Why should we rejoice and be glad? Why does the Bible tell us to be happy when we find Him as our last potential source of help, right? We discovered earlier that one of the first things that God did for humankind, for Adam, was to provide help, give a helper. And the two more things that I want us to notice in this passage is this. First one, God knew Adam's need before Adam knew it. Adam was just created, right? Right? He's like, what's going on, right? I'm Adam, right? And he's like, and before he even realizes or notices or asks for anything, right? God notices his need before Adam ever does, right? God's the one that says, Adam never asked for a wife. God's the one that says, it's not good for you to be alone. I see that need. And not just that, but God moved immediately to give him help, right? And so he was willing and he was active in providing help. But he knew the help before we even realized it. And I believe that happens all the time in our lives. Second thing, God knew who would be a helper fit for him. Everyone say, fit for him. NIV says suitable for him. NKJV says comparable to him. Comparable? Compatible, right? Compatible to him. NLT translation says just right for him, right? God knew just right answer. God knew exactly who would be the fit for the problem, right? Sometimes you and I, we know the problem. We can diagnose. Okay, this is wrong, but you and I don't have the answer. We don't know what to do with it. We don't know what will fix the problem. Problems is evident, right? Okay, this is wrong, but we just don't know how to fix the situation, right? But God is different. He knows what's suitable, what is just right for the situation. He doesn't just see the need, but he also has the answer that's perfect for it. Psalm 46:1, I will explain further, but it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I looked it up also in, because I wanted to know the meaning of a very present help. I love this verse. I love reciting this verse. Very present help. What does that really mean, right? I looked it up. It means very, so the first word very, right, very much, exceedingly. And the second part, present, to be found, to be present, to be enough, to be found sufficient. So if you put this together, very present is a good translation, but my own translation will be very exceedingly sufficient help. More than enough help, right? God is very available help. Exceedingly available. You put it all together. You can come up with many different wordings, but he's very present, very available, exceedingly sufficient. He never lacks as an helper. That is what this verse is talking about. The connotation of this word, help, according to the commentaries, and this really moved my heart. It is the image that you have to see when you read this verse. If a Jewish person, fluent ancient Hebrew language ability, read this word, help, this is what comes to their mind. This is the image that I want you to see. Run to my assistance upon hearing my cry. Someone rushing to help me when this person hears me cry, right? That image of someone running and rushing to provide help, for some reason, it really ministers to me. It reminds me of many moments where I just felt so desperate, and I literally could feel that God rushed to send someone for my rescue. Or is God rushed to? He couldn't help because he heard me cry. You know, he heard my desperation. He saw my need. And more than I needed and I wanted it, God's heart, his love, his care, he's rushing to send, or he's rushing to come to our rescue. That communicates something so big because, you know, this is something you do for someone special. I remember when I was in elementary school, the first memory that came back to me as I was looking at this word was, I had a dog, a mixed dog, right, that we bought at 10,000 won at a market. I loved him. He was my best friend, right? And my One thing that I really loved was just running around with him without the leash, right? We lived in this like Busan alleyways, and I love just running around with him, right? I just run, he tries to catch up, he catches up, and then I turn, and then I run. And we just play like that for hours, right? And then I remember one day, he was so excited. Tarongi, that's his name. He's long gone, okay? Tarongi was so excited to play with me that he like dashed out of the alleyway, right? And I turned, but he missed my turning. And then he actually went out of the alleyway into the where the cars were driving by. And then I saw him literally rolling under the tire of a taxi. And I freaked out, right? And I remember, I turned into like a beast and I started screaming. And then my house was like probably like 4-minute walk. I'm not exaggerating, okay? Deep down into the alley. But I screamed so loud. Both of my parents was on Sunday. They heard me, right? And then they both rushed out with barefoot. With my mom with her rubber gloves, the red gloves in her hand. And then with all the foam and everything, right in the middle of washing dishes. And my dad with the remote control in one hand. And with this like short PJs. And my maybe it was just anyways, right? He just rushed out. My dad was shirtless, right? And then they just came out because they were so shocked to hear my cry. And that is the image that I want you to see when you hear this word, help. Not some just, okay, I'll lend you a hand type of help. But when hearing your cry or your desperation, Father, I need you, right? At that, Dad will rush out, drop everything he was doing, and he will come to your assistance. That is the type of help that Bible is talking about. Do you guys get it? Without shoes, without shirts, he will run out, right? That's the type of love that is demonstrated in this word, help. Not charity, not giveaway, not just assistance, but I will intervene, I will come and rescue you. So in summary, God knows our needs. Before you know it, God knows what to do when we don't. And he is more than enough of a help who is available in his perfect love at all times for us. How can we not rejoice when our God is the helper that is left? How can we not say we are blessed when our last resort is our helper, the very Azer who loves us? Now, how can we experience God as our divine helper? And I want to talk about that. First thing that I want to say is this. It takes humility. Everyone say humility. This attitude of, I got it. I don't need help. It's okay. Self-dependency. Oh, I got it all. I don't need your help. This attitude is the worst enemy to experiencing God's divine help. Or any help, period. Right? If you have that kind of attitude, even people wouldn't be so up for helping you, right? It is to admit that I can't find solution. It is to say I don't have the answer. I don't have the strength within me anywhere. I'm stuck. It is to admit it humbly that I need help. And God, also admitting that God, you are the only source of help that is left. Help me is a simple prayer, but very, very personal to me. I'm sure I share this story many times. If you heard it already, just hear it again. You'll be blessed again. It was a desperate prayer of mine when I was struggling for years with eating disorder. When I was extremely insecure about my identity and my beauty and my worth as a woman. I had bulimia ever since I was 16 in high school. And 6.5 years of every single day vomiting, holding onto the toilet, punching my stomach, having a huge scar on my hand, having to lie about my struggles and my addiction, my idolatry of myself, self-love, indulgence, love for food. what is the word? When you eat and eat and eat. Gluttony. Oh, thank you. Gluttony, right? Overeating, beyond overeating, gluttony. That was my idol. At the beginning, I thought I was controlling my weight by when to eat, when to throw up, right? I thought, perfect control. Okay, I'm going to choose when to eat a lot, when to throw up, right? And I'm going to control my weight. Soon, it started to control my life. started to control everything, everything in my life. I was in deep, deep bondage, and I couldn't stop. I mustered up the courage because in the middle, I got saved. I knew Jesus, but somehow this bulimia wouldn't leave me, and I was stuck, and I tried. I tried harder, and I tried harder, and I tried harder, right? I wrote it. I put it on my wall. I'm never going to throw up again, blah, blah, blah. I tried everything, exhausted all of my options to no avail. There was no light, and I was stuck in deep darkness. And I remember trying to get help and get help. And I remember going on mission trip in the middle of all these and feeling like I'm such a fake Christian and all these things, right? And I remember this one day in my tiny little room in Yuhua area, right? My roommate was out, and I was just holding on to this toilet. And I'm sitting there for hours. I'm sitting there for hours trying to throw up this cracker that I ate. It's so small, it doesn't come out. It's probably already like, you know, all there. But I'm trying to throw up this little thing that I ate, and I'm killing myself over this, and nothing is coming out. And in my mind, let it go, it's okay. But my body just wouldn't listen to it. And I remember feeling, wow, this is beyond my willpower. I remember feeling, I need a savior. I remember thinking, I need a rescue. There's no way that I will get myself out of this evil. And I remember as I'm punching my stomach and throwing up my stomach acid and everything, I remember crying out desperately. I didn't know what else to say, so I said, God, help me. God, help me. God, I don't know what else to even pray. God, just help me. And I sat there in front of the toilet, just crying out my heart to the Lord. God, could you help me? And I remember the Lord rushed into my life and my cry. A few days later, remember I went to clean the church sanctuary. And then it was Pastor Aaron back then. Aaron Unni, right? Before they got married. And I opened up to her and I confessed to her. I said, Aaron Unni, I've been throwing up again. And I remember she just laid hands on me and she just prayed for me as a sister. And that night, I got set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord intervened. He sent his help from heaven. There's no other way to describe it. It wasn't me trying harder. There was a grace that was released. Yes, that's faith-filled prayer, but also I believe my desperate cry for his help. And I finally admitted I wasn't turning to my own devices. I wasn't turning to my own solutions and my willpower. I was finally admitting, God, you are the only source of help, and you're the only one that can help me in this. And the Lord sent Azel, right there, right? Azel. The Lord sent help that was tiny, and he rescued me, and I got set free. And bulimia is no more in my life. I love my body. I am beautiful. If you disagree, just leave, okay? You know, the Lord restored my identity. He didn't just set me free from an addiction, but also the Lord gave me a new identity. When we are, thank you, at the end of ourselves, when we are at the end of self-control and my willpower, when I run out of my options to what to do, when there seems to be no help, our cry to the Lord is powerful. Not many words are necessary. God looks at our hearts. Help me. Help me. It takes humility to admit the help cannot be found anywhere else. And we got to go to the Lord. Sorry about all the emotion outburst. I wasn't planning on doing that at all. Okay, I can't see anything now. Second thing is this. How can we experience God as our divine helper? One, it takes humility. Two, it takes sleep. Everyone say sleep. Not literally, but like from this story, Adam had to sleep, right? God had to put him to deep sleep, right? And then meanwhile, he came up with the solution, Eve. Sleep representing rest. stopping of trying to help myself. Stopping of trying to figure it out on my own. Letting go of the control. Trusting God and moving out of the way so God can take over and help me. We need to get out of the way. Simply put, you and I need to get out of the way. You know the thingy that you have to, all the colors on different six sides, a cube thingy? What is that called? Rubik's. Thank you. Rubik's? Yeah? Okay. Rubik's? 맞아? Yeah? Rubik's? Okay. And no one starts in the Rubik's, right? I'm really bad at that, okay? I never succeeded in even, like, finding, like, a one row, okay? Really difficult. Some people are really good at that, right? But, like, if I'm stubborn, right, and I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to try. I'm doing it, right? And then it's all getting mixed up. It's, like, becoming worse, right? It's, like, a mess. Oh, are you jumbling up the colors? No, I'm trying to match them, right? I'm working on it. And then someone that's really good at it tries to help you, right? And then you're like, oh, help me. But you're not letting it go, right? Help me, right? But like, I'm gonna do the control, but you help me. You know, you tell me what to do or whatever. So do you think it will work? Do you think it works? If you really want to get it together, you just gotta let it go, right? You gotta give it to the person who knows how to do it. You can't hold on to it and say, help me now, help me, right? No, it's just easier if you just take a break, right? Give it to the person. Okay, you take over, you help me. That's the right way to go about it. Sometimes when we ask for God's help, that's our attitude. We're holding on to it. We're not letting go of the driving wheel, right? And we're still like holding on to everything and not letting go of the control at all. And it's like, God, help me. Help me. As you have a tight control over the situation, you ask for help. And God's like, well, you go to sleep first. Because you're messing it all up, right? You go to deep sleep first, right? You rest, you let it go, you let me handle it, and I will surely have a solution for you. We sometimes need to just let it go and rest. And so, you know, as Christians, especially, not a bad thing, responsible Christians, we're very, very bad at this. We're very bad at, like, going to sleep in peace, just knowing that God is in control. Sometimes it's very difficult to do, right? It brings a lot of anxiety in our hearts, right? I don't know if I can sleep. I have to take care of this. Now let the Lord take care of it, and you go to sleep. You go to sleep. Third thing I believe is really important. Sometimes it takes persistence. Persistence. Sometimes God wants us to come to Him and ask and pray. And, you know, I share the Luke 18, the persistent widow story. And the purpose of the parable is actually written right before the parable. It says it is to encourage us to pray without losing heart, without losing hope, for us to keep asking, knowing that the help is on the way. If you're thinking, oh, they're contradicting, right? I heard that God, like, rushes to you at once, right? They're not contradicting. These are matters of justice. These are matters that are bigger. Some things just take more time. And there's God's sovereignty, and there is God's timing. His divine timing is in the works. And for us, we can't just nag and say, come to my help right away. Solve this within a minute. Some things just don't work that way. If you live life, you know this. These are not contradicting truths. These are both true. God's love, God's heart goes out to us at once when He hears our cry. However, some things take time. Charles Spurgeon, this is how he explains it. What we need is help. Help that's powerful, efficient, and constant. We need a very present help in trouble. What a mercy that we have it in our God. Our hope is in Jehovah, for our help comes from Him. Help is on the road and will not fail to reach us in due time. For He who sends it to us was never known to be late. Therefore, let us be very joyful in our infinite helper. It's on its way. It's not that it's not coming. It's not that He's going to be late. It is on its road. It's not going to fail to reach us in due time. Who determines that due time? The Lord. But the help is coming. You know, do you ever wonder, you know, with all of these things, if God will really come in time? Do you ever doubt or are you ever scared that will God really rescue? Will he really come to save and help? I have moments like this. I admit when I do, and when you do, I encourage you as well to look to the only thing that gives an assurance. And that is Jesus Christ. Don't zone out, right? Don't zone out. Listen, the only thing that will give us this assurance that he will surely come in due time is for us to look at Christ. When you and I were still sinners, and further, the scripture describes that we're enemies of God. We scoffed at him. We were prideful. We didn't even know we needed God. Before we ever cried out for salvation or a savior, before we ever got on our knees for help, God sent Jesus as his divine salvation to help us from the sin and the death, to save us, to deliver us. Before you and I could ever ask for, that is the truth. That is manifest, how God being the helper manifested in the gospel. When Jesus suffered on the cross, on the way to the cross, the beating, the mocking, and the shame, the nailing, all the tortures, Jesus was in great need of help, wasn't he? Probably more than ever. In all of his suffering, agony, he was in great help. However, the help was denied. The Son of God cried out for help. And the Azel, who always rushes to help, at the cry of his children, the Father God denied help so that you and I will have access to the same ever-present help. Jesus was denied at the pinnacle of his pain, as he was hanging on the cross. He was most desperate for help from the Father, but the help was denied. So that you and I will inherit that, the merit, the privilege of having God the Father as our ever-present, very sufficient help for us. When Jesus ascended into heaven, God didn't leave us hanging. God made sure to send the great helper, the Holy Spirit. The scripture calls him the great helper for us, for you and I. And Holy Spirit dwells in us right now at this moment. God didn't leave us hanging by taking Jesus away back into the heavens. He sent us the great helper who represented the Father God. And he is with us right now at this moment. The Azel never left us. The Azel never failed us in helping us. He completely saved us. He is the Lord of salvation. God is our great helper. And we cannot accuse him for not helping us. If you ever doubt, will God arrive in time? Will God really come to my rescue? Am I going to be stuck in this situation forever? Look to Jesus Christ and how he was denied of help so you and I can always trust in the assurance of that help coming to us. He is surely coming. He is our great helper. I'm going to close with this verse, Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2. Very familiar because we sing this often. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I also want to speak to those people maybe that feel no desperation for getting help. Maybe things are just going really great in your life. And maybe you just feel like, good message, but great for those who are suffering, but not for me. Nothing's wrong with you. I don't want to call you out and say that something's wrong. But I want to speak to you humbly and say that maybe that's a season for you to give thanks to the Lord. That for us to admit that perhaps God knew all the needs that we had, you and I, before you and I knew. And God, by his grace, intervened. Sent help from heaven, even before you asked for it. Because in the end, everything is God's grace. In the end, all the help that you receive from people or from wherever, from your parents or whatever, it is all help coming from the very source of help, which is God. Everything, every help, whether we ask for it or not, it all comes from Him and His blessings. You know, some of us here, on the other hand, are in great need of God's help. Some of us, we've been crying out for the Lord to intervene from heaven. Because we looked everywhere on this earth and feel like, God, problems are so evident, but I can't find the answer. God, I'm stuck. I'm trying. I tried everything I could. But I seem to be stuck. I can't turn to anyone else. All I have left is you. God, I need deliverance. I need rescue. I need intervention. I need provision. I need breakthrough. But God, I feel so stuck. You know, I want us to pray. You know, whether you are in the season of Thanksgiving, abundance of receiving help, or if you just feel like in certain areas, maybe in your work, in your job search, in your relationships, in your marriage, in maybe community, in church stuff, whatever it might be, if you have this feeling of, oh, God, I'm stuck, and all I have left is you, Alpha, I want to preach to you that you are blessed, that we have the Lord as our helper. It is a good thing that we need to now finally look to God. We've tried everything, and we've done everything we could, but now if it's a time to look to God and wait on Him, we are blessed. We're happy. We're happy. We're happy to be able to look to the Lord and not to some human or to some, I don't know, solutions or self-help books, right? We are blessed and we're happy because He is our very present help. And I want us to just pray together. I'm going to just ask you guys to close your eyes. Can I have someone on the keys? Before we pray about our situations, this is why I want you to see in your head, have a clear picture of this. I want you to imagine the Father rushing to you to help you upon hearing your cry. I want you to rest. I want you to rest. And in all things that you feel stuck with, in all of your desperation for help, before we do anything, I want us to see the Father. Have you forgotten the Father's love? Have you forgotten His willingness to come rush to save you, to deliver you, to protect you? Church, have you forgotten the Father's love? The Father hasn't forgotten about us. In all of your situations, I want you to see the Father rushing to help you right when He hears your voice of cry. That's your Father. That's who He is. That's what He's more than willing to do for you. You're not alone. You're not helpless. You're not stuck. You're not hopeless. You have a Father. Orphans are, but we are not. We're not helpless. The great helper is with you right now. The love of the Father rests upon you right now. You're not abandoned. You're not forgotten. You're not insignificant. He doesn't have other more important things than you. He's attentive and He rushes to you when He hears your cry. knowing His love and Him as an ever-present help. I want us to pray. What are the situations? What are the areas in your life that you need the Lord's help? You don't even know probably how to pray for it. Some areas, you guys know the problem, you see it, but you just don't know what to do. But the Father does. He knows what's fitting. He knows what's suitable. He knows its timing. And for us, let's not lose heart. Let's be joyful, glad, and happy that the only option left is to look to the Lord. That is a great thing. Father, I thank you for your love. Father, you are a good dad. You're willing and you are so close to us, whether we feel it or not. Lord, I thank you that you are the one that rushes to your children when we are in need. And God, it is your pleasure and it is your delight to come and comfort us. And Lord, we rejoice in that love. And God, we're so thankful that we're blessed to be able to go to you as our helper. And Lord, in times of need, we don't have to look to men. We don't have to look to books. We don't have to look to what people say. But Lord, we can go straight to you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you will continue to just breathe life upon this word. And throughout the week, God, that you will manifest and show yourself as a great helper to each and every son of yours this week, Lord. God, we thank you for your love more than anything. We thank you that the timely help of salvation, the cross, Jesus, what everything that he went through, Father, that came to us. And that is an assurance that we will always get your attention in our times of help, in our times of need, Lord. So Father, we just thank you for revealing who you are to us today. We praise you, God, in Jesus' name.